The strange thing about this room is that for some reason, the room feels dark.
You know how we talk about UFOs and how there is mounting proof of their existence?
Is there something else he's not telling us that makes him so sure that it wasn't just a dream?
I fall back to being rational all the time because you need to be able to explain these things.
They are all giving us the starring role in this universe.
Yeah. I really don't feel good.
We're getting
a lot. Is anyone here? What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
Now that traveling has resumed post-COVID, what better way to spook you out than a good retelling of hotel room supernatural encounters told to us by confessors? Our featured guest for this episode travels extensively and sleeps around in many hotels. She's Friday Night Live alumni, Sonia Khurana. As a host on the show, she's known to be the voice of rationality when dissecting our confessions, choosing to explain away any encounters with possibilities before she would admit that it must be the Hantu. The reason you'll find Jonathan's voice echoey today is because he's taking the call outside right after a shoot. That's the level of dedication we have when hosting for Supernatural Confessions. Just like back in the days when Sonia was traveling and logging in to call at different parts of the world, one time she even hosted right from the hospital bed. Now, let's get on with the show. And now, well, help me welcome Sonia Khurana with us live.
Hey!
So we've not seen you or heard from you since October last year, when we did the finale show,
yes,
the live show, the Sarawak show. So what has been going on since then?
I've been traveling. I've got some pretty good stories from my travels, and I look forward to sharing all that later.
As we speak. So where are some of the interesting places that you've been that you know we have not.
Well, the most recent one, I came back 2 days ago from Mount Kinabalu, and I've been doing some climbing. Prior to that, I was in North India in a place called Kibber. Mm-hmm. Where it was so cold, minus 28 degrees. I went looking for Yeti.
So tell me you found
right
something.
Right up the alley of Matt and
Bill.
Matt and Bill's show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you find anything?
No lah. Down there, you will find yak. And I think that if you are cold enough, and let's say, for instance, you're wearing a wool jacket and it snows on you, you are going to end up looking like the Yeti.
Always a super rational one. Now for those of the fans who have not seen you yet, like give us a bit of background, yes, on how you got started with SE.
Oh my goodness. Well, you came on my Halloween night walk. That's how this whole thing began. And because I'm so rational, you felt that it was a nice change, perhaps, to have someone else's view that's not always skewed towards the Hantu.
That's a nice way of saying I want to get challenged, is it? All right. Let's see from the comment section we have. Everyone, I saw your name. People saying, hi, Sonia.
Hello.
We have... I didn't get a chance to say hello to those early comers because we were dealing with some tech issue. Oh, we have... Yeah, Joe Keck said I didn't ask for
permission. Is this on YouTube? It's not on Facebook anymore, right?
Adoy. Sonia, we're no longer on Facebook already. Now we're 100% on YouTube.
That's how long I've not been on the show.
Mark Chippo says, Sonia, we missed you. Olivia.
Oh my goodness, I miss all the familiar names.
Yeah. Olivia Hawkins gave you a heart shape. Bushan says hello. He waves to you. Saravanan asking me, Eugene, new location. I think there's somebody else asking me, is it new location as well? I am in my studio. Remember the studio I used to stream in last time when it was Dracula days? Yeah, so I'm back to that studio. Well, Dex says, welcome back, Sonia. Joy Lane says, Eugene!
Thank you.
Matria. Oh, wow, very natural. Thank you. Macam podcast inside Store Hub. Who, me? Me or Sonia inside Store Hub?
What is Store Hub?
Store Hub is the place where you... Oh, wait, hold on. Guess. Someone is... Alamak. See lah, this fella. Okay, guys, why I got distracted? Because our friend just arrived. Hold on, let me add him in.
Hey!
Wait. John, they can't hear you yet.
Hi, John.
Hey! Hello, everyone.
There we go.
I think now... Sorry, I'm late. I'm in the lobby of MediaCorp at the moment.
Oh. Okay, all in, yeah. Yes.
Yay!
I thought tonight I was going to have to do solo, you know.
Can what? You don't need me.
Hey. Okay, now that the circle is complete... We have a very special episode today, and that episode is actually every week, right, when we have guests, we try to give our guests some special, right? Like,
yeah.
And this week, because we know this Sonia Kurana has always been traveling, so I thought, what better theme to run today than a theme on hotel room? Because in fact, I'm trying to.
I'd love to hear about, you know, haunted aeroplanes. I'd like to hear about that.
Oh, okay. That's the next time you're on. Yeah.
No, that one I keep for Joel Goh. Joel Goh, his S to word.
Oh yeah.
He comes on.
Yeah. True.
Thank you, Tan Jun Lee. First to make a donation to us. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to give a bit of shout to Jun Lee. Jun Lee has been one of the other than enthusiastic fans of Supernatural Confessions. And what he has done for us is he has taken the liberty to go around to other podcasters and all that and asking them to collaborate with us to come on our show.
Awesome.
And he even went out to Jack Neo and asked Jack Neo to come on our show. And Jack Neo said, our Jack Neo's team rather says, we will discuss it internally and get back to you. So thank you very much. Okay, we're just asking Sonia to talk about her memories of last year before you got in. So maybe John, you can let us know your memories of Sonia.
Wow. I mean, I've always been like crazily jealous, right, of the lifestyle that Sonia leads, right?
Yeah.
You know, jetting all around the world to the most exotic places, you know, and then being able to guide other people, right? So it means that you know the ins and outs of that country, you know the dark secrets, you know, and then you choose what to reveal to these unsuspecting people, you know, and whether they come back alive or not, it's all in your hands.
Whether they come back alive or not.
Okay. You know, so I always got the sense that, you know, it's such an adventurous life that you lead, you know, and I think if I get my guts up, you know, it would be so cool to go somewhere scary led by Sonia.
Oh,
you know,
be careful what you wish for, no? This thing is just
yeah.
Because I think
that sounds like an advertisement for dark tourism already.
Exactly what I was heading towards. I mean, no one else is more qualified to lead that kind of thing than Sonia, right? So, you know, let's, fingers crossed, hoping, you know, take us somewhere, you know.
So, guys, I hope for audience, I hope you guys can stay a little bit past 11:30 today because we do not have any featured confession, but we started a bit late. And I think when it comes to hotel stories, there is a lot to talk about. And I felt for sure we're going to bust 11:30. And I think now with the delay and all that, we definitely would. But let's kick off the very first confession. I'll let you or Sonia pick. But the first confession is going to be shadows in Tokyo Hotel. Sonia or John? Which one?
My laptop's not ready yet, so.
Okay, so it's either Sonia or Eugene then. It's either Sonia or me.
Yes.
Sonia, do you want to do the shadows in Tokyo? Or you want to do the
other
room,
one?
The hidden room.
Yeah. Any preference?
Which was the first one?
The hidden room.
First one was.
The first one with. Oh, John. The hidden room.
You want to do that
The first one with the boutique hotels, that one.
Yeah, that's hidden room lah.
That's hidden room. Okay. Then Eugene, you want to start with the shadows
yes,
first?
Yes, I shall.
Let's save up hidden room because I think it's a little bit more mysterious.
More mysterious,
one.
Okay lah. See, I'll host you all think so? Your preference. No, I like both. I like both. I mean,
Okay, so in Ghost Mortem, Jonathan would usually shortlist a number of horror short films for me to choose. When it comes to Ghost Friday Night Live, I will shortlist a bunch of confessions for John to choose. So John has picked Shadow Visitors in Tokyo Hotel to go first. And so let me read that one out for you. So, okay, so Sonia, you can take the second story later on and give us your teacher voice. Okay. Shadow Visitors in Tokyo Hotel. This confession is by Linda Ng, 34, mother of two. Okay. I went to Tokyo, Japan for a holiday with my girlfriends. This was in my late 20s or early 30s. We had two twin sharing rooms. I was bunking in with my childhood friend Sharon. We knew each other since Katong Convent days. This wasn't our first trip out together. Everything went well. Sharon's a planner, and I'm happy to just tag along. My other two friends, Z and Kat, were equally fun people to have around. They weren't from KC, but they were also from all girls' schools, so we could all vibe together on the same level. My mom was helping me take care of my kid, so I had the week away from packing lunchboxes and dealing with the constant, "Mommy, mommy, mommy." So we booked into a 4-star, 5-star hotel in Minato City. And from the looks of it, you would hardly think it's haunted. But on the day we checked in, we learned that this hotel has a notorious reputation. First thing I do as a habit when I get to any hotel is to pull aside the curtains to let sunlight in. Though I hadn't had any prior paranormal experiences, I am, after all, Asian, have listened to enough stories of supernatural confessions. I know how to take necessary actions when checking into a hotel room. The strange thing about this room is that for some reason, the room feels dark even when the sunlight is coming in. First instinct was that this room didn't feel right. But since Sharon didn't mind, I just ignored the feeling and went about the day. The first night we went to bed, I swore I saw shadows moving about the room, not even in a surreptitious way. The first shadow stood at the foot of my bed. I was not yet asleep and on my phone. The thick curtains shut the lights out from outside completely, but the toilet light was on, so the room wasn't in total darkness. When I looked up, I could see a silhouette of a man, who was shaped like a man, standing at the foot of my bed. I was startled, of course. I rubbed my eyes and looked again. But there it was, clear as anything. It wasn't my eyes playing tricks on me. I could make out the shape of the shadow, and it was this black block that blocked out my view to my suitcase that was against the wall. The shadow then turned to its left, and I followed its gaze to see another taller shadow on the wall. This one was even clearer. Because of how the toilet light seeped out, there was a pale orange glow on the wall. The shadow was standing in the middle of it. I fucking scream. Sharon woke up, lights were turned on, everything went back to normal. The fear somewhat dissipated and I questioned what I saw. It sounded ludicrous even as I was retelling the story. That night, we slept with all the lights on. Exhaustion eventually took over my frayed nerves and I think I must have drifted off to sleep an hour-ish later. It was probably around 3 a.m. We didn't tell Z or Kat because, quite frankly, by the time morning came around, the previous night's experience really felt like a figment of my imagination. The second night took preemptive measures. We kept all the lights on, curtains drawn open. Sharon had her sleep mask that she had gotten on the SQ flight. I was the kind that could sleep with the lights on, so the brightness didn't bother me very much. But seeing the light through my eyelids gave me more of a comfort, actually. So sometime in the middle of the night, I heard a couple of loud clicks and got startled awake. The room was in total darkness. I was sleeping on my side, facing the wall. My back was towards the window, out of sight. But I could hear the sound of the curtain rails moving, slowly closing. First of all, waking up in darkness when I was expecting light was jarring enough. But now with the sound, I went into full alert mode. I rolled over, I saw a shadow figure slowly closing the curtains. I scrambled for the light switch, but the lights didn't come on. I grabbed my phone and used the torch function. There were more shadows around the room. Two at the foot of my bed, one by the window, one in the corner, and another was in bed with Sharon. Then they all fucking turned to look at me at the same fucking time. I know this time I can confirm. I can double confirm. I'm not conjuring anything or imagining anything. Like I said, I was alert. This was the second night. After what happened on the first night, my brain was more prepared this time. For some reason, I wasn't as fearful as the first night. I yelled, "Get the fuck out of my room! Get out!" Nothing happened. Then the one on top of Sharon got off her and crawled its way towards my bed. Okay, now that freaked the hell out of me. I leapt out of bed, ran through one of the shadows at the foot of my bed and out of the room. I had a split second to think about whether I was going to run through the shadow or not, but between the shadow crawling towards me and the one just standing there, I took my chances. I ran to Z's and Kat's room and pounded on the door. It took quite a while to open and honestly, I was standing there getting more and more pissed off. I think I must have been quite hysterical by the time I saw them and I was pretty much just yelling whatever. I can't really remember at this point, but we went back to my room together. It was on the same floor but a few doors down. But because I ran out without my key card, we couldn't get in. So we rang the doorbell and pounded on the door and I was already ready to just run down to the concierge to get another card. Sharon opened the door, sleep mask on her forehead. She looked surprised to see me. "Abe?" We tried the lights again, but the lights still wouldn't come on. That's when we realized the key card had been removed. Sharon had the spare, so she went back into the dark room to find it. I was by now yelling for her not to go in, but Sharon didn't seem affected at all. So when we finally got the lights to start working again, we all piled into one room. Nothing looked amiss. The curtains were closed. Our beds looked slept in. But other than that, no signs of shadow people. Not taking our chances staying the rest of the night, we went down to the front desk to demand a change of room. The lady gave us an upgrade and apologized profusely for the inconvenience. There was no more sleeping that night. I told the girls what I had seen and they all got spooked. This time, it was hard to see, I imagine it. Sharon and I deliberately left all the lights on and curtains open. Something or someone had removed the key card, closed the curtain. The only explanation was that one of us had sleepwalked. But then again, neither of us have any history of that. The next morning, we sat at breakfast talking about the night's incident and another couple next table overheard us. They told us that this hotel is known to have such incidents and that we were lucky to have encountered it. They booked this hotel hoping for an encounter but didn't get any. I told them my previous room number and said they are welcome to try. They said according to feedback from others, it didn't matter which room you were in. The entire hotel is haunted. That was enough for us to GTFO from the hotel that very afternoon. I've traveled and stayed in other hotels since, but thankfully nothing like that ever happened again. P.S. Sharon later on came clean that while she was sleeping on the second night, she had a very sexy dream that she was making out with her crush. I don't know if that is just a coincidence or if she was making out with the shadow person I saw in her bed.
Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Confessions podcast. If you are enjoying the show and would like to support our efforts, you can help by giving us a 5-star review or by becoming a patron by signing up for a monthly membership fee that starts from as low as $5. Check out the perks at patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. That's patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions.
Or if you feel like showing a simple gesture of appreciation, you can buy us a cup of coffee or two at buymeacoffee.com/superconfess. And now, let's get back to the show.
I like the twist at the end.
Same, it's a shame she didn't film it.
Okay, so So Sonia, come. Take us through this. What do you think is going on?
Well, if you have several people saying the same thing, seeing the same thing, it's a bit hard to say that somebody sleepwalked and somebody imagined something and somebody else had shallow dreams and such. Mm. Because they're all corroborating each other's stories.
But actually, right? only the confessor saw.
Only Linda saw. No one else saw.
Yeah, the other two girls had nothing in their room. And even Sharon was, having a sexy dream and totally didn't see anything. Yeah. So there is physical... Yeah.
Are we able to link it all? Because it seems rather coincidental that there's stuff happening to each and every one of them, though different experiences, but, as they speak to each other, it seems rather strange.
No, Sonia, none of them, they're four girls, right? There's Linda, Linda's a confessor, Sharon is her roommate.
Sharon.
Z and Kat.
Z and Matt.
Z and Kat, right?
Kat.
The only person who experienced anything throughout their stay was Linda. Sharon, who was in the same room, slept on the first day, slept through second day, and when they all came in, Kat and Z came in, they didn't see anything. It was a normal room. But because Linda told her story, they all got spooked.
But what's interesting is
in the morning when they were at breakfast and they were talking about it, the next door couple at the table having breakfast said, this hotel is known to be haunted. The whole hotel. And also one more thing that I think if you did not notice is when she went to the concierge, she asked for a change of room, there was no pushback. It was okay. We are sorry for the inconvenience. Did they know?
It's like they know.
Yeah.
And that they expect it. They expect people to ask for changes.
Yeah.
So it's very useful to find out the reputation of your hotel beforehand because you can get a free upgrade after your first night. Just research the confession and tell your version of the story. Right? Looking for the proof in the evidence in the scene, right? So the only physical things that happened, right, was the curtain moving, which I found was really creepy, right? The curtain moving and the fact that the key card had been taken out. Right? Which is not an easy thing to do. It doesn't happen by accident. You have to pluck the key card out. Right? And then where did that key card go?
I couldn't find it. It was gone.
Yeah. Right? So that's a mystery that is real, right? She thought maybe sleepwalking, blah blah blah, and if none of the other three girls did it, then there is a physical mystery apart from what she saw. There's something tangible, right? But is it possible that she sleepwalked?
Yeah, so that's what they were saying, right? I mean, because when you are face to face with unexplainable occurrences in your room, one of the things that you want to do is to be as super rational as possible, right? And so they were coming out with things like sleepwalking and everything, but then again, A, no history of sleepwalk, and B, it was Linda who saw the whole thing, so unless she sleepwalked and she imagined all that, maybe. Maybe.
Okay, but by that same logic, I would also say no history of supernatural witnessing. She doesn't have the sight. She has since not seen anything. Mm. And out of four people, why would the one person, only her, see them who has never seen them before? There's no reason why, So it's to me, it's equally improbable that she would sleepwalk or witness something. Both know history, I don't know.
But John,
what do you think?
I mean, I don't think there's a timeline for any person to not have sight before,
mm.
that the possibility they could suddenly have that mm. ability. You know what I mean? It's like, yes, all four may not have had the sight prior, but mm. it doesn't... I mean, mm. I would think that it could just happen there. Something could have triggered it, started it, opened an mm. eye maybe, or...
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit more inclined to think that just because it hasn't happened before, it can't happen now.
I do agree. I think, actually, when you were telling the story, and there was one burning question that I wanted to ask the confessor,
mm.
which is, was anything unusual about the trip?
Nothing. I
did something, no, as in, did anything happen to her,
oh.
right, as a trigger? Because like Sonia said, right, you know, it could have triggered at this point in her life, right? Or it could have been a one-off,
mm.
right? But what happened, you know, during that trip
mm.
that put her in that place,
mm.
right? Or is it truly random? You know, if her eye opened, was it because she was in a... Was something happening to her mood? You know, was she, you know, depressed? Was she something else? You know, yeah. Because okay. if she was absolutely normal and rational, yeah. as she was all the other times, then there's no trigger, ma.
Like, yeah. I think you might be right on this one. There might be a trigger, but then it was not said to me, lah. It was not said to me. Mm. But I do agree.
And she may
you.
Not have made the connection, right? She may not have realized for herself.
Correct.
You know?
So... I mean, we can hypothesize that maybe she was in a bad place in life and then she needed an all-girls trip, whatever, right? So maybe. But we don't have that for a fact. What I find interesting about this particular confession is that she did not go into this hotel room. In fact, when I was speaking to her, she says, oh, you know, who really thinks about ghosts in Japan? I mean, quite frankly, if you ask me, to me, when you think of Japan, I think a lot of ghosts. But you're talking to a person who listens to ghosts, who believes in ghosts. But for her, it was not top of mind. Tokyo was not top of mind ghosts. Tokyo was top of mind shopping. So she was not in the headspace of seeing things. So I was trying to...
I beg to disagree because she also said she did her precautions. She's a regular listener to Supernatural Confessions.
Yes.
And we are always
yeah, she said that.
Mind. Yeah.
That's it, lah. Yeah. Everyone she who listens to Supernatural Confessions, you all die, lah. You see hantu one.
You, of all the things to choose, you choose to listen to us. You are infected. You know? And
you know,
and
just as recently as... As my last trip, I was sharing a room and this girl, she knocked on the door first and she says, I got some pantang. And straight away, I was brought back to the things that we've been saying on the show.
I don't think they're on her mind, but they're definitely in her unconscious. Right? Yeah, if she has these rituals and the fact that she doesn't think about them very much means it's so deeply embedded in her, right? She herself explains, right? I'm Asian after all.
Yeah.
If she says that, it means that she has been fed a regular diet of Asian ghost lore in her life.
Yeah.
She just doesn't think that I'm here in a haunted hotel. It's not a conscious thing, like the other couple, right, who are here ghost hunting. For her, it's not. But it's totally in the back of her head.
I apologize unreservedly to everyone watching Supernatural Confessions, listening to us here live or on podcast. I'm sorry that you guys are quite fucked.
100%.
Yeah.
Oh, but speaking of knocking, I thought that would be her first precaution. Right? You know, she did the sunlight thing, which is jolly good, but I think the knocking first.
Maybe that's what. No, I think she would have knocked.
Yeah.
She would have knocked. I
She didn't mention it. She didn't check with her.
Anyone go back and check.
She said she took precautions. What, you know, it's like, what are the precautions?
She only mentioned the sunlight.
Very good question. Later on, after this confession, I'll give you guys who are new to this channel a list of precautions when you go to a hotel room.
Yes, please.
Quickly, just to get onto the comment section, we have Clark says that being super rational is part of a coping mechanism because you don't want to have to deal with something that you cannot explain. Because that's fearful.
Yeah.
But when you can find a reason to shoehorn inside, even though if it's a bit of stretch, it eases your discomfort. Anand says, after listening to Supernatural Confessions, I always Google the hotel that I'm about to book for a trip to check if there's any hantus mentioned in reviews. So lah, listen to Supernatural Confessions also not bad lah. Keep y'all safe. Huh?
I think that all these hotel booking websites should have a direct link to Supernatural Confessions. It's like, click the ad, check your hotel. Is it haunted? You know? But now, I totally...
Oh, we can start our own directory.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
We have enough people to do this.
We are going to cause the loss of business for a lot of these hotels. I'm going to already, you know, when I talk about the Tampines property,
lawsuits.
Right? Yeah, I have to put disclaimer out there. So I put disclaimer. It says, I am not saying that ghosts are real. I'm just saying that.
No, you will bring them even more business, I tell you. Because you are telling them which rooms and which floors are safe also, you see.
Okay. Singapore, and this is one, maybe I'll share it later because I have a few confessions that came in for this Singapore hotel. I'm going to talk about Mitra Hotel later. Mitra Hotel is one of the most famous Singapore hotel. I'll give you guys a walk down memory lane later. In around the Bugis Lavender area, there is a hotel near a mosque that
I know which one
has been, because we go there makan a few times. Is reputed to be haunted by a few, by a few, I mean more than five confessors who talk about their stay in a hotel.
Wow. Okay.
Not going to tell you which one.
There are not many to choose from, but okay. Yeah.
Okay, so back to this confession. Anything that you guys would like to add?
I mean, okay, you guys have heard, I'm sure, many confessions regarding shadow people, right? So what do you two think about the entity here, right? What was their intention? Why were there so many, you know? And, and a very striking moment that she mentioned when they all turned to look at her at the same time. You know, it's a classic cinematic moment, right? You know, but I want to know what you think they were up to.
Sonia, go first on this one.
Meaning they were well aware she could see. She could
see
them.
But what were they there for?
And
what?
I've always thought that so if we, you know, we used to discuss how they could feed off of our energy and our belief in them. So if they felt that she could see and they are there to feed off of her belief and the energy that she exudes in that belief, they've targeted her to feed off of her power, maybe. What other reasons?
Well, I mean, they were feeding on Linda as well, apparently, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, they had started feeding on Linda first. And she kind of interrupted it, right? You know? So I wonder who the prey was, if there's such a thing, right? And why this pair, instead of, let's say, the two friends next door, or the couple who had purposely come here looking for ghosts, why Sharon and Linda, particularly, both of whom have no sight? You know, they seem to be innocuous sort of targets, right? For what seems to be a very organized kind of attack, you know? And somehow, you know, closing the curtains to block the light, you know, and then standing there at the foot of her bed. I feel that there's intention here, you know? These are not spirits that just passing through or they just belong to the room. They came here, right? First night two and then next night more.
It's targeted. So,
yeah, it's targeted.
So was the veil thinner for her? Was she already more sensitive? You know, just because she did not have any other encounters prior doesn't mean that she's not open to it.
It's possible. It's possible. But in your experience of these shadow figures, what do they want? Is it just feeding energy? Are they sort of, you know, energy succubi?
I've always felt they want recognition themselves. They want to be seen. They want to exist.
Right.
You know, just like us. They may exist in another plane, but they exist. They want to be acknowledged.
And do you think that
just
these
like
are...
we go looking for them, they might come looking for us.
So Sonia, are you saying that it must be the hantu? Sounds like it. Sounds like what you're doing.
I have always I have always said that I believe that another plane does exist. Mm. I've always looked for proof of it. Mm. I just may need more proof than others, but I have never said they don't exist. Mm. You know,
so they are
a little bit
visitors.
More of a yes. If you know how we talk about UFOs and how there is mounting proof of their existence, similarly, just like science is the supernatural that is not explained, are we inching closer and closer to where the lines are going to further blur?
I mean, I'm trying to piece together like little shreds of evidence from the story, right? You know, and another thing that strikes me is these shadow people for her were quite opaque, right? Because she described how the I think on the first night, right, it blocked the view of her luggage.
Yes, yes.
Right?
It was like a black blot. Right.
Correct. Yet at the same time, they are not corporeal because she could run right through it. And in fact, she was quite certain she could run right through it.
I think between the crawling one and that one, she just try her luck.
It's a bit. And we're sure there are four sides in a bit. You go the other side, lah. You know, you
and we're
through.
Sure she doesn't have a speck of dust in her eye that she, you know.
Because, I mean, you know what I mean? She's not in a corner. I don't have to run through the hantu. I can run beside the hantu. You know,
you
if I want to
run around the hantu.
Okay, like, I do not know how the format of the room is like, but I think if she could have run around, she would. Like, I'm just giving her that kind of common sense.
You know, but to me, it feels like she's confident that she can run through it.
Okay.
That's my point. You know, that she has no thought that, you know, it can grab me. Because that's the danger, right? You know, if I saw a strange thing, I'm just going to go, I'm not going anywhere near you and certainly not going through you. I'm just going to distance first, right? But she was quite confident that I can barge through, which is very interesting, right? And yet, at the same time, she was quite sure that she will be in danger from the one that was crawling over. So can it grab her, but she can run through? So, you know, I mean, in that moment of confusion, it's also very hard to say.
I don't know,
right?
But I mean, for me, it's not
you go with the lesser evil. Yeah. I mean, somebody's crawling at you. That is, you know, more scary than something that's just standing there, opaque. So you go with the lesser evil.
Yeah. Like, I don't care even if that thing can't touch me, it's crawling towards me. I'm going to run.
Okay, so Eugene, is this an episode where you can link everything to the djinn as well?
No. So I have my...
Or what do you think? Okay. Yeah, what do you think these shadows
are? I have
are?
My hypothesis about this particular story. I think, John, you were hit a nail on the head with one aspect, which it did not occur to me, but now that I think about that, it's actually very glaring to me. Why Linda, of all times, now can see, right? And I think the shadow people were not intending from either Sharon or Linda or anyone to see them. It was not their intent. In fact, I think they were almost as surprised that she can see. I get that sense. And why this? And it is one of a common occurrence for people who are depressed, upset, going through a down period of their time where their un or their light is low, where they're down, their energy they're vibrating at a low, very low energy. And this gives her, like I think what Sonia mentioned just now, was the veil thin at this stage. That was when she could see and realized that the few times where she woke up was one when she was on her phone and then she just looked up because it felt like there was something.
Yeah.
Second time, she heard a click-click sound as she woke up. So I think already second day, she had hyper alert, the brain is on high alert. Any sound is going to wake her up. Light, it seems to me that the shadow people are adverse to light because they want to turn off everything, close everything. But then means they're also kind of sentient. Not your wandering spirit. Not your dead soul moving around haunting. These are entities with malevolent intent. So what is the intent? Is this intent to have sexual intercourse? Is that, but not in a way that we humans have sexual intercourse. Could they be feeding on your energy by giving you dreams? And that dreams could be, in terms of Sharon's case, where she is fantasizing. And our body and our mind emits energy, EMF, EEG, when we are in certain emotional state. And these spirits feed on that. That's what I figured. And if the reviews is true, now let's make the assumption, reviews is true, there's other people going there and saying the same thing, then my question is, is the hotel built on the land that belongs to these people? Because these are entities. These are otherworldly beings.
Mm-hmm.
Or could the hotel itself be dabbling in something and feeding off the patrons? You get what I mean? It's like almost like from dusk to dawn. That bar is used to attract truckers so that the entities in there can feed on the truckers. Could this be it? That's my question. I'm leaning more towards this answer.
I mean, it goes back to that same question, right? Which is, what is it about her mood at this time, right? At the time that made her both prime prey as well as a candidate for seeing. You know, two surprising things happened to her.
Out of all the rooms,
this room became the target, right? And instead of spreading out, haunting five rooms, they all five haunt one room. All right, so clearly they were the best targets in the hotel. And number two, she suddenly gained the ability to see even in the light. So not the first night she saw it in the light, right? Or at least some light.
Was it said that this, you know, when she went down to ask for a room change and then they willingly gave it, was this room already known to have occurrences? Think about that, because the entities could have been tied to that room, and she was given that room.
But according to the neighbors, it's not specific rooms; it's just the hotel. So they travel around. You know, that's why the other guests were hoping that they would choose their room,
hearsay.
But based on the ones who have, I assume, done some researching, you know, and came here for that purpose, it's not a room, but could be. I love the idea that this hotel is nefarious and it's a feeding ground, you know. But I'm curious what the law is, you see, you know. Is there any... So this happened in Japan.
Tokyo. Right? I was given the name of the hotel. I went to Google it up. They have since changed name already.
Right, okay.
So I do not know whether change name, change owner, anything has changed, but the hotel is still standing. So if you guys want to stay in the hotel, I can let you guys know where it is.
I mean, I totally buy into the idea that there are beings, right? Beings, entities, you know, who I think feed off, you know, human energy and then can maybe find a better feast when you are in a certain mood. A certain frame of mind, right? You are easier target, you know. But somehow hearing this, although it's very satisfying in terms of law, right, makes it slightly less frightening, because then I feel that, then it happens to most guests at some point.
Yeah.
And unless
why
you stay there for
why is that any less scary?
Because then you have a sexy dream and you check out the next morning and you're fine. Then they're not going to follow you. I'm worried about the ones that will go with you in your luggage and travel home with you. I don't mind you want to suck my energy for one night. It's okay.
In exchange for a sexy dream. Hey. That's the key word here. You want to suck energy, suck all you want, but just give me a sexy dream.
Yeah. Maybe that's how dreams come, right? Ooh. Maybe we witnessed the Sandman. Maybe the shadow people are Sandman bringing dreams. Okay? She woke up and she didn't get her dream because she kept disturbing the one that's standing at the foot of her bed, standing by to give her sexy dream. You know, Idris Elba or whatever, right? Like, come on. And then she can run through him, and then like, okay, that's it. No dreams for you. All right? It's hard to say because we don't know that their intention is evil.
So
may be freaky and scary, but I don't know what their intention
is. So these are good Japanese JAV ghosts who's going to go there to give you sexy time, nice dream. Then she's like, then like, I just want to give you sexy dream.
two senior AV dream givers, and then the other three are like the interns who are watching. The
boom mic owner.
I don't know what's going on.
Somewhere in the ghost universe, there is spirit porn happening, streaming right now.
Maybe again, this is totally out of it. Maybe she astrally projected to the future where the room was used to shoot AV, and there were this five-member crew. But because she couldn't see it for real, she only saw them as shadows.
Yeah, like the whole interstellar thing, right? Because, you know...
Yes, exactly. No, la, okay. Whoa. Okay, but another thing that's very interesting, right? Again, coming back to the entity, right? Because I'm very fascinated by shadow people, you know? I don't know how they look. I've never seen one, of course, you know? But
they look like shadow?
Yeah, thanks. Okay. But I... how can you tell when a shadow turns its head?
When it's opaque and just but has an outline.
But there's not much light in the room. You need the outline to be clear in order to see a small turning of the head.
So maybe it's almost
maybe
like
it was the profile.
But she said five of them turned their heads to look at her, and only by the light of her phone, she couldn't have lit all five.
Maybe it's like so, the Blue Man Group. You know, it's almost solid, right? Featureless, just one.
Mm.
Now it's getting more scarier.
In my head, I'm trying to like imagine them, right? You know, are they black, like orang minyak kind of, you know, very solid black, right? Just minus the slipperiness, right? And maybe not so shiny, right? Matte black. Because to me, shadow people used to suggest a certain smokiness.
Yes. But I mean, there's nothing firm about it. There's
correct.
Nothing
correct.
Solid about because it, maybe, right? Shadow, yeah. that's what it is.
Black people is just politically incorrect to say. La. So we go with shadow.
No, but I mean, you say shadow because they suggest a shadow, ma, right? But shadows are very rarely so sharp. You know, especially in unless your room is very brightly lit from a single source. But the moment you turn on another source, your shadow starts to get diluted already. You know, so I would imagine that, and in a dim room like that, I think the shadows must be even darker. Darker shadows.
Because
in a
shadow
dark
is
room.
Is absence of light. It is correct. Where light does not pass. Right.
Mm, right.
But yeah, so that in itself really does not make any sense.
So they are very puzzling to me. You know, I've not say I want to see
maybe
one.
Maybe you need
but
to
I've,
define what shadow is, lah. You need to make the definition.
Let's go to the definition. They come up a lot in different confessions.
I think,
you know?
Okay, I'm guessing, right, like from all the different confessions that people are saying about the shadow people, I begin to feel it is not the shadow, liquid, whimsy kind of shadow that we think about as the shadow casted on the wall. It's really a black silhouette kind of solid substance kind of creature. But there's people just saying...
For the lack of calling it anything else, then we call it shadow people.
Yeah.
It's the oily man kind of version of shadow people.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Chon Chen says, my dad got strangled by a Vietnamese ghost. Turns out that the sand in the project he was using came from Vietnam and probably contained the remains of the deceased. He got strangled.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So now it's almost 11 a day. You say, John, very short. You say very short discussion, right? This one.
This is considered short already. Okay.
So, Sonia, anything to wrap up? You can say things like, yeah, I believe it's totally believe it's the hantu. That's fine by me as well. So, any wrap up for this confession?
No, I just think that, it's always never enough. So whenever I listen to stories like that, I have my own set of questions. It's just never enough proof. Never enough proof for me. Not yet. Not yet. Not
pending.
Convinced.
Pending. Okay.
Stay only. Dying to come
me,
out.
Right?
Yeah.
For me, come I'm on. Just... I just want to know why it's only her, right? And what made it unique, right? So the emotional and psychological background, you know, that she may not have thought about it, you know, and I think she needs to think about it because that will give us a clue.
That, you know? I mean, she could have been undergoing some sort of stresses. Travel causes stress, you know, and did she say she lost luggage or she had a hard time checking in or finding her way to the hotel? There are all sorts of rational things that could have happened to her psychologically.
Well,
that
earlier you hinted at something. You hinted at the reason for this girl's trip. It was the first time they'd gone for a girl's trip. So it's not a regular thing, you know, and
could
very
have been
often.
Okay.
Because I know the person, I also have a bit of background info. She went on this trip because it was a relationship issue. Having some trouble.
What you never say earlier? We could have gone with that.
Yeah, it's not part of the confession. What?
Okay, so it is possible, right?
Context is everything.
No judgment, but it's context, right? So yeah, it's entirely possible. Now it makes sense to me much more.
Okay, so to all the people out there who I'm about to confess, who I'm about to interview for your confessions in future, if I start asking you about your love life and your daily life, please understand I'm not hitting on you. I just need to put things in context because my hosts are very demanding. I must tell them not just your ghost story, but how you're feeling, what you had for lunch, who you slept with 2 nights before. So yeah,
because
all for the name of research.
Because just like in crime, it's all about criminology and it's all about victimology.
Yes.
Right? The victim is half the haunting. Mm. Right? Or maybe more than half the haunting. Right? Mm. So we need to understand who you are and why the hunter want to catch you. Mm. Right? So I think it will help a lot. I mean, it's not to pry, it's not to judge, but it does
some
complete
background information really helps.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know? Mm. Cool. Okay. Exciting.
Come. We got to get on with other parts of the story. I think the next part, before we get on to the final confession, John, why don't you go and ask Sonia about the experiences and all that? I know Sonia has some ghost story to tell. Ghost story, not supernatural story to tell.
But they're not my stories.
Okay, what is the most recent this supernatural thing that you've come across? In your last trip,
so maybe in all of my travels, I have been collecting stories. And the last place I was at, in fact, I just got back 2 days ago from Sabah. I was in Kota Kinabalu.
Ah, okay.
And Kota Kinabalu is a city, right? We didn't stay in the city long. We went up into the hills of Kundasang. Mm-hmm. Now, in Kundasang, you're going to find many more. Of the village style people, the Orang Dayak, the Kadazan and all that. Now those people are a little bit more inclined to believe in animism, even though Christianity has come to Sabah, but they still hold on to many of their older cultural beliefs. And the fact that we were going to go climb Mount Kinabalu, they revere this mountain. They believe that. That's where all the souls go, to the highest point, the closest point to heaven. They also have some lore that there was treasure at the top that's guarded by a dragon. So a lot of people to prove their valor would go up into the mountains to seek this treasure. And I mean, they die of all sorts of things. It's a terribly dangerous trek, and when you get close to the top, you can just roll off the mountain and die. You know, a lot of them didn't come back, and it left many of those of the village people widows of the men that had gone to seek this treasure. There was a lot of reverence for this mountain. It is a taker of lives.
Right.
They felt that the dragon would take these lives. So interestingly, you know, when you speak to the local guides, not so much the locals, they revere the mountain, but they also have great respect for it. And rightfully so, rightfully so.
Okay, I'm interested in something about the dragons, right? So when you say dragons, immediately I start thinking of the dungeons, the Angmor dragon, scale, wings, Lord of the Rings, that Dungeons and Dragons kind of dragon. But
You need to think of more the Asian dragon.
The Chinese dragon? Like, is that like
the water dragon with the chiu chiu, you know?
The Shang-Chi.
Okay, what is the word that they use? What is the word they use to refer to the dragon?
They just said dragon.
In English.
They're speaking, because they're speaking to me in English. So they have their own dialects and their own languages and stuff, but they're not going to speak to me in it. And then it's direct translation, I suppose. And the closest thing you're going to get is dragon, you know, for whatever
it's misleading because I don't think dragon is a good translation for whatever it is that they are referring.
For this cryptid, right? But what else is interesting, and this one, the guide that walked with me, I'm into flora and fauna, so I ask a lot of questions as I go along the trails. And, you know, there's this thing known as, they have many types of mosses in the forest. And I, you know, I like to handle it, take a couple of pictures. And the guide told me they call this bunyan beard.
Oh,
that particular moss they call Bunyan Viet. So I was a bit surprised. I mean, obviously, this guy does not know that I have an interest in all things a little bit unusual and weird. But for him to tell me that, and I said, why is it called Bunyan Viet? He said, it has medicinal value and they believe it's magical. So magical how? Right? Just because it has medicinal value, therefore you accord it magical properties, because when you use this moss on your wounds, it helps you heal faster. It's got like an antiseptic property. So is that why it's linked to the supernatural? So again, it brings me back to my point that science is just the supernatural that we don't understand.
Yeah, that one I absolutely agree. I mean, you know, that in, you know? Animism is a level of belief that doesn't try to rationalize and analyze everything,
because
rather,
maybe they don't
need it
because it's magic.
Yeah, correct. The whole point of animism is it's a compact with nature,
like snow,
right? So it would be,
oh my god, like snow.
It would be, I think, a
precipitation.
It would be a bit rude to nature to reduce it down to laws and rules and science, right? But rather, if you revere the spirits, then you don't question their doings.
Yes.
If they give you something that can heal you, you take it as a gift.
Yes, yes.
Right? It's a
correct.
Divine gift. You don't ask, how does it happen? What chemical is it? That is an insult.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So animism,
those questions,
yeah.
You know, those questions are for the foreigner, which is here.
Yes.
For the foreigner, for the foreigner to ask, right?
Mm.
But the locals will tell you, please do not veer off the trails. Mm. And they don't tell you because, you know, they want to go looking for you later and stuff like that. They have great reverence for everything that that lives on this mountain. You don't kill anything. You be careful what you step on. You don't remove anything from the mountain.
Nice.
And it is only out, as it should be, respect the place that you're in.
Yeah.
Accord it the same reverence. Now, some of the pantang, very interesting, and I think you will like this. Some of the pantang, before you climb any of these mountains, you are discouraged, highly discouraged from eating pork.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Okay.
Yes.
Mm, okay.
Highly discouraged. And, you know, I had a personal experience. This has nothing to do with Mount KK, but with a much earlier climb in my teenage years. We were walking in circles for the longest time because it was later found that one of the climbers had a tin can of luncheon meat in their bags.
And therefore,
so they
offended,
said that, you know,
offended someone.
Offended the mountain gods and the spirits, and they covered eyes. So that pantang still is very much alive because people in my group, you know, were saying that, you know, cannot this, cannot that.
So cannot eat pork, cannot even bring pork, right?
Yes.
Cannot have it on you or any pork products. Pork products. Okay. All right. Wow. What else? What else? What other exciting pantang were there?
Sorry, breaking up. John,
I can't
hear you.
Sorry. What other interesting pantang did they have?
What other interesting pantang did they
have? Yeah, that you don't kill anything. So you don't kill anything. And if you see... Okay, so that was Mount Kinabalu. Now, I was on a hike this morning.
Oh.
And I have two things to tell you about my hike. One is I saw Shimmer.
Like Predator.
I mean, not like that lah, but you know, there's a little bit of a shimmer. And at one point, out of nowhere, I could smell excrement. Very, very BTMM and Mawas in nature. And I've smelled it before over in Sembawang as we walked through that Bunyan forest. So straight away, I was brought back to one of our recon episodes where all of us smelt it, all of us experienced it. And I was with my friend and I asked him, I said, do you smell that? And he went, no, he didn't smell it. So it was just me. And it was only on that spot. And there is nothing around us. I checked his shoes. I checked my shoes. There's nothing. And it's a very particular, it's a non-animal excrement smell. So, you know, all this, all of you like saying I'm super rational. Yes, I fall back to being rational all the time because you need to be able to explain these things. However, it does not mean that I don't have my own stories or experiences.
I love this sort of paradoxical position, right? Where you know, we claim that we're supernatural and we want to understand, we just want to see the rational side of things, but we are constantly searching for the things that we cannot explain. Yeah. And those are the things that excite us the most.
Yeah.
It's like, there's something I cannot explain. You know?
I'm gonna share with you guys something, okay? One time only. I'm not gonna share today. If you are here, you listen to this, good for you. I'm not gonna repeat this again. You know, Sonia says she's super rational, right? You know, if you join her on her classified walks where she go to find a hunter and all that, right? I know there are some of our fans who actually follow her. Then she start talking about ghosts, this place called ghosts, and then they all like, "Hey, I thought you super rational. How come today you talk about ghosts?" That's why you only get to see this side about me. Off camera. Then there's one time as well, I was out with someone, and then I think the person was trying to make fun of something, like says, "Hey Eugene, must be the hantu, right?" Then I was caught off guard, so I went into the whole scientific rational spiel about the particular thing. Then she looked at me like, "I need to record this shit. No one's gonna ever believe me that Eugene is not about the hantu." I'm like, "Shh, shh, shh. Don't ruin my reputation." Yeah, so there we go.
We are all more than what we seem. Okay?
Yeah. You know, even as recent as, I was reading one, I think someone had said something in the comment section, and recently there was an earthquake on Mount Kinabalu, and that was in 2015. Okay?
Right.
It was very tragic. There were a lot of lives lost. And they attribute that to an incident where people were disrespectful of the mountain. So the reason why a lot of these pantangs continue existing into the future, regardless of how scientific we get, how modern we get, they're still able to fall back to these because of things that happen around them. And we know that earthquakes are caused by seismic movement, Earth's crust and all that.
Or angry
but
spirits.
Yet, it is still tied to pantang, being disrespectful and all of those things, right? Even though the science exists and there is proof, but it's easier to fall back into cultural and historical beliefs in that way.
Sonia,
I think,
is it more comforting, you think?
I think it's more it's part of human nature, because we want to see ourselves as the center of existence, right? So the most comforting logic for the world and the cosmos is something that is affected by what I do, that can be offended by me, placated by me, prayed to by me. It's a terrifying thing to think that the plate tectonics will just send us all underwater in a few thousand years and we will have nothing to say and we don't matter at all. You know, that kind of existence.
No control. It is
no control.
It is about relinquishing control. And that's why on Mount Bromo, they're still sacrificing cows and chickens to the volcano.
And that's why the volcano didn't erupt. Believe. It works. The sacrifice works.
Well, the system works.
Okay, I challenge both of you to give me scenarios and I'll tell you how I can hantunize it. Give me anything.
It's okay. No need. It's not a special skill. All right. Our forefathers have been doing it. Every time it storms, someone is angry at someone.
The god
else.
Is angry.
Obviously. Yes.
Lightning
nothing
strike.
To do
someone
with...
tell lies. Huh? You fall sick,
course,
is it?
Obviously.
It's offend the spirit. Cannot sleep. Offend spirit. Sleep too deep.
Of course.
Offend you disrespect spirit. The moon by pointing at it, you get your ears cut.
All right. If your ears don't get cut when you point to the moon, because the good spirit protect you because you've been good. Sure one.
There is a reason for everything.
It's comforting. It's comforting to think that way. And I think that's one reason why mankind came up with religion in the first place. Whether it's animism, which is our most primal religion, to the more complicated ones that come along later, they are all giving us the starring role in this universe.
Yeah.
You know, that there's a god or gods or something out there that actually gives a damn what we do. And that's nice to know. Yep. You know, so let's carry on believing. You know, I think it's important.
That's what I always say, right? When it comes to the supernatural, if you notice when I reply people and people ask me, "Oh, do you think this is a hantu or not?" My reply is always, "I want to believe. I never say, yes, it is. No, it's not.
Yeah.
I want to believe. Because that Eugene Tay really want to believe. Okay.
Yeah.
Put it to you this way. MH370 right now showing on Netflix, correct? If you watch the entire show, there is no answer. Obviously, there's no answer because they have not found a plane. I truly want to believe that just at the Bermuda Triangle, the plane has gone into some place, exited to another timeline, or the aliens have taken it. I don't have an answer for you, but that is my I want to believe. And some people who are not into that, don't give me alien bullshit. They will try to shoehorn all kinds of logical reason into it. And if you watch a show, some of the logical explanation just seems so far-fetched. Like one of them is the pilot is good. He wants to kill himself. And therefore, he crashed the plane. He go up here. He U-turn. 6 hours later, then he crashed the plane. Like, why? Why 6 hours later, turn off everything? So everybody just want to believe what they want to believe. And that's why Supernatural Confessions is so interesting, because we can literally spend 1.5 hour, 2 hours, even more, talking about a 3-minute confessions in so many ways to Sunday. And that's the beauty of this special.
Okay, next confession. Come.
Okay, Sonia, over to you.
Okay, wait, I have to get there.
The hidden room.
I can tell Sonia did not read the confession.
I have so much IT problems today. I did. I just have to go. I have to go into the drive for it.
Okay.
Now, this story is called The Hidden Room by Dave D'Souza, who's in his 40s. I don't know why we must put the H. And then 40 is very vague, not early 40s, not late 40s, but just 40s. Okay. Now, my work requires me to travel very frequently, about 2 to 3 weeks out of a month. My travel package offers me a budget for very decent hotels, but I enjoy staying at boutique hotels more than the usual branded chains because it's got more character. Refurbished heritage hotels are my favorite. These days, though, after a particular incident, I think twice about staying in such places. I wouldn't consider myself a believer, which is why most times when I listen to your podcast, I'd say I'm actually on Team Super Rational. I believe these are things we don't understand. But unless I actually come face to face with a ghost, it's hard for me to feel the way you do about them. Did I write this story? That's my pen name. But that all changed at the end of last year. I won't tell you which hotel it was, but it was an old historical building that had a very posh makeover. They gave me the corner unit with a nice view. There's nothing much to do around the area after dark, and I'm not a nightlife type of guy. So I drank my duty-free whiskey by the balcony before bed. I had a really vivid dream that night. I woke up in my dream seeing an elderly Caucasian man in my room. He was standing in front of the balcony doors looking outside. I called out to him. Note that at this point, I did not feel any fear, just a sense of utter sadness. I could tell he wanted something, but when he spoke, there was no sound. He walked through the cupboard. And in the next scene, I was in another room. He pointed to his diary on the dressing table, and I walked over to read it. I sobbed myself awake, cheeks and pillow all wet. I had been crying in my sleep. What was odd was that unlike other dreams where I would wake and the memories would soon fade away, this time the memories remained. I can remember the musky, woody smell. I can remember the content of the diary. And beyond all that, I could feel a sharp pain in my gut. I somehow knew that the man in my dream had been murdered by poison and his death was agonizing. I checked the time and it was still early in the night. So I went back to bed and forced myself to sleep. When I got up in the morning, the feeling still weighed heavily on my chest. I tried to retrace the steps from the dream. I stood in front of the balcony, and then I went to the cupboard. Something compelled me to open the cupboard and check inside. Nothing out of the ordinary. I looked around the wall around it and just tapped around mindlessly, looking for nothing in particular. And that's when I realized the wall was made of wood. Why this was strange was because these old buildings are usually bricked up on all sides. But it seemed like my room was larger originally, but a partition had been erected to divide it. I looked outside to see if there was another room beside me, but like I said, mine was the corner unit. Structural-wise, it looked like there was space for another room, but no doors. After breakfast, I went to chat with the proprietor of the hotel. He was actually surprised when I asked about the history of the hotel, and his demeanor changed when I started describing the old man I saw in my dreams. Apparently, over the years, many people have seen the Baron, a nickname the hotel staff had given the man. It turned out that there was indeed another room beside mine, but due to the high number of sightings and complaints, they have had to seal up that room. I described the room in my dream, and the proprietor validated that my description was accurate. As the legend goes, this building belonged to two business partners, but when one of the partners passed away, the younger partner sold off the property to new owners and left. A few months later, the man came back to beg the new owners to let him buy back the building. The new owners had other plans in mind and refused the offer. The man was desperate and kept spouting that it was a matter of life and death. The new owners did not relent. 2 days later, the young man did not wake up from his sleep. I didn't know how I knew it then, but I just knew. I said that the partner had poisoned the old man because he had wanted to sell the property for a tidy profit, but the old man did not want to. The proprietor, this word I tell you, laughed and said maybe. But he was curious to know how I knew, because the legend was not public knowledge or on the internet, and only people who were related to the family knew of this. I then gave him more information about my dream. He shook his head and said that it's really uncanny, because everything I said were things that only a small, select group of people would know. I asked about a diary, but the proprietor said he didn't know anything about it, and by the time he had taken over, the property had already changed hands a few times before. The night before I went to bed, I wrote a note to Baron and left a glass of whiskey for him by the dresser. I said that I knew of his secret and I believed him. It's been way too long, and perhaps it's time he tried to let go of the past. Whoever had done him wrong has long passed on. I don't know if that message went through, but that night and the few nights after, I slept peacefully. On the day I left and was about to go into the cab, I looked up at my room again, out of instinct, and I thought I saw someone standing on my balcony looking at me. When I took a second look, the man was gone. So yes, Eugene, I think this time I might have actually come face to face with a ghost. And I'm thankful it wasn't like most of the stories I have heard on your channel.
Supernatural Confessions was created as a safe space for people to share their paranormal encounters. If you or someone you know has a strange encounter to share, we want to hear about it. You can type it to us, send us a voice memo, or even meet me for a face-to-face interview. Visit supernaturalconfessions.com for more info. But every time I hear you laugh, I get
into trouble. It's quite poignant, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a tragic ghost story.
it's very complex. There's a lot of context which is useful. Which city was this in?
This is,
I think you had some background.
Yes, Copenhagen, Denmark.
Someone was asking in
the comment section as well. Yes, Copenhagen, Denmark. So there's a lot of, in Europe, there's a lot of old buildings with a lot of forgotten past.
Loads of them.
Okay, who wants to go first? John? Sonia has been reading. John, you want to go first with this one?
I'm very fascinated by, okay, two things, right? Two things. One is a slight evidential kind of query. Okay, I don't know. Okay, but he mentioned that the wall was made of wood, right? At least the part that he was tapping, right? Was made of wood, right? But then when he spoke to the concierge, they said that the room, because it had, you know, it had been, you know, haunted, right? And there were many reports. The wall was the door was sealed up. Right. So does this mean that, but he said there was no door. So I'm slightly confused. Was there the wooden part? What was that?
Okay.
Because that sounds more like part of your room been partitioned, as opposed to there was actually a room, which means that it shouldn't be wood. That should be the brick wall between the two rooms. And then there should be a door in the corridor that is now, well, I mean, to seal up a hotel room, you just close the door. You don't have to actually cement the door over until people can't even see the door.
So maybe what,
you know, that seems, yeah.
Yeah, so, my assumption in regards to the structure is probably this room is not from the outside. It's not like a separate hotel room. It's like a room within a room.
Adjoining.
Adjoining room.
Yes. Is it like another part of a larger room?
Oh, don't forget, this old building,
from his room,
it could be a much larger room before, and they partitioned some things, and it could have been a door there after the partition, but then they built a cupboard over it. Maybe. So, but my understanding is it's a big room, partition, and so when you're sleeping here, behind that wooden wall is another room with a ghost living in there.
But not a hotel room, because hotel room, other guests. It's part of it's a suite lah. It's a suite. You had a walk-in closet, or you had something else, and now you don't. Now it's a smaller room.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
Maybe I can buy that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'm less curious about that. I think the other thing for me was, okay, so here's a guy who has not had any experience again, right? Someone who has not had any experiences. And then at the end of it, he says he's convinced that now he has come face to face with a ghost.
Yeah.
Right? But yet, it was a dream.
Yes. It was a dream, but yet when he told his dream to the proprietor, it was validated.
Such a man, that doesn't make it a ghost. It's still a dream. You just dreamt of someone who existed. If I dream of, Thomas Edison, it doesn't mean I meet his ghost. It means I dreamt of someone. Right?
So, again, my understanding is perhaps what he could have thought was a dream was him actually extra-traveling.
But he himself was quite confident.
Yeah,
it was
a dream.
Lucid dream, right? Mm-hmm. So when I hear it, without the bit at the end where he talks about seeing a ghost, I buy this as one of those, a message.
Psychic, premonition.
Right? A visitation, a realization, something, right? You know, in a dream. You know, but it's his conclusion that confuses me, because is there something else he's not telling us that makes him so sure that it wasn't just a dream, but it's something else? Right? Yeah, it's entirely possible that he has some sort of latent psychic ability, you know, and that he was able to pick out the face of this person from the room, and he was able to see the person who used to live here, who died here, and even sense his sadness, right? That's a very prominent thing he brings up. So he seems to be, maybe with his duty-free whiskey, right? You know, he's very sensitive to these things. He also seems to be quite a bit of a loner, right? Not a nightlife kind of guy. So maybe he's a little bit more sensitive to these things. So I'm just surprised that he would jump to, conclusion, I've seen a ghost, as opposed to, I dreamt the truth. You know, I dreamt the secret, you know?
You know,
so,
why not,
yeah,
John?
So
you
want,
know why? Because he's an SC fan. So he assumes he saw a ghost because he wants to see a ghost. He wants to believe.
Yes. So I think there is a bit of that going on, because I think I love the fact that rooms, and I've always believed this, right? The older the building, the more things the stones remember, right? And all it takes is someone who is either permanently tuned to that channel or who is temporarily sensitive to pick up on things, right? And then the human mind will do the rest and patch patch up the holes, and sooner or later, you know, you get a message, you get a story. You know,
it's a prime setup. Everything is it's been primed. He's a lawyer. Yeah. He's had some whiskey, and he's in a old historical building.
Mm.
It's
feeling the vibes. Yep.
Yes.
Because don't forget, he likes to stay in the boutique hotel. So he is a man who seeks the older hotels,
these experiences, already.
Rather than the new chain hotels, because he is drawn to it, right? So clearly he has a sensitivity for these things, right? And again, that's where it helps that he's 40-something.
Yes.
Right? So he's a bit older. He's seen a bit more of life. I think his interest in history and stories is greater. You know?
Yes.
I think
that's why I was wondering, this sounds like my story.
if this was a 20-year-old something, you know, young person, you know, I think they'll just be like, change my room now, there's a ghost in it. And then they won't try to find out the story behind the
because
sadness.
He seems quite happy to have the experience, to have the dream, and
You know, so in a way you can
get
say
that feeling.
Baron chose the right person to appear to, right? You know, maybe he's been appearing in the wrong people's dreams for so long. You know, and finally he found the one person who can piece it all together, you know. So it's kind of nice, you know. Unfortunately, there's no follow-up, you know. The bad guy already passed on.
I want to find out
something,
right? Is this like a common trend for all SC listeners? Like, you guys want to see things, is it? Is that like a death wish that you guys have? I mean, the fact that you're listening in on the stories, like people's confession, you're like, yeah, so cool. I wish one day I had my own confession. Is that like a part of the psyche? The unspoken psyche.
I mean, who doesn't want to have a good confession to share, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure at some level,
I mean,
acknowledged or not.
That's
conscious
why
or not.
That's why they want to be, I mean, that's why they are here. This is what they want.
You know? So I love the mystery behind it, right? And I think that, you know, this is one of those destiny things, right? Yeah. You know, it's the story found its teller in the end, the right person, you know.
And then our teller found us.
It's
all part of the destiny chain. When you find us,
it's destiny's child. Destiny's child. Okay.
I want to say a quick hello to Arthur Keith. Arthur Cave is
Hello,
first time listening to us, and he's like, oh, I didn't know you guys are having a podcast every Friday. Yes, we do. 10 to 11:30. If there's some technical issue, then it's 10:15. Or if John is very late, then it's 10:30, but usually it's 10 to 11:30. Arthur is also, he so happens that he's in a hotel room in Bangkok now listening to hotel podcast.
Ooh. Okay, please start knocking on all the walls. Okay, check. And If there's any previous history of hauntings, you can get a free upgrade. Okay, remember that. Okay, tomorrow morning.
Stay tuned, because after this, with Dissect This Confession, before we say goodnight, I'm going to give you guys, especially Arthur, some pantangs and some precautionary measure that you should do when you go to a hotel room. Okay, stay tuned for that one, Arthur. Then we'll talk about that.
SC life hack. Life hack.
Okay.
Eugene, what do you think?
Me? What I think?
Yeah.
I love this story because it's not your usual woo-woo. Timo would say, the heebie-jeebies kind of story. I feel that this one has a lot of painful soul that cannot cross over and is just trying to seek help, because he's so beloved with this place. He was murdered by a younger partner. Obviously, betrayal is very painful. And then he was poisoned. And he sold, the hotel was sold. So I believe that there is something so strong, so important to this barren guy that he just cannot let go. When I look at European story, I always have a very different take on the hantu there. It's not your usual Asian horror, your Japanese horror, your Thai horror, your Indonesian horror. None of that. None of the horror that Arthur Keith is probably likely to see in his Bangkok room today. So the European horror is always very, is more towards the phantom, the one that has a vengeful spirit with a dying wish. I want to tell you that he has buried a treasure under this hotel and he's trying to get someone to claim it, right? So I found ang mo ghost story to be more romantic than scary.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I put myself in the shoes of
right?
Dave. I wouldn't be, I mean, he wrote a freaking letter and put a glass of whiskey. Wow. It's a kind of story, you know. So,
So I just watched on Netflix. We Have a Ghost. Which is a very, we're starring Jennifer Coolidge, right, my favorite actress. And it's very much in this vein, right? It is the sort of wrongfully murdered, buried, and then, you know, trying to find out, in this case, trying to find out his own story because he'd forgotten, you know, but also needing human help, right? Someone to bridge that gap, you know? Yeah, so you're right. I think the perfect word is romantic. You know, there's a desire, there's a desire to affect the emotions other than fear. Right?
Yeah, it's not one of your typical jump scare type stories. It's,
but but also because I mean generally speaking, you know, Asian hantu, you know, scare you first, then we talk, you know. Right. Whereas, you know, it was very remarkable that he said he did not feel fear, right? But he felt sadness.
He cried until the pillow wet, it's like, you know,
so
kamtong,
So it's a romantic story, and the person who it happened to, the dream came to a very romantically inclined person who could appreciate it. Right? Can you imagine how many people have run screaming the moment the dream came, or, you know, run screaming from the Baron and he didn't get a chance
to? No, but you see, if the Baron came as a shadow creature standing at your bed, you might be scared, right? But if the Baron came as a sad old man looking forlonely out the balcony and like,
of my room, I'm still pretty freaked out.
Okay, good question here, right? I just question to all the listeners, Sonia and you as well. Would you rather see a spirit in its past life form, as in features and clothes?
Yeah.
And okay, like, maybe I give you like a bit of hantu. No legs and floating, but full on features. Or the shadow, no shape kind of aura minyak being. Which one would you prefer to see?
When you say prefer, what do you mean? Like, in our SC brain? Using our SC brain or using our personal brain? Wow. Now we have defined that SC has polluted us all, right? So we are now children of SC. We all want to believe. In which case, I think I would choose the more mysterious one.
Aura minyak.
As confusing as possible.
Wow.
Because it's a bigger mystery.
Okay.
Because it's a mystery, right? But of course, personally speaking, I would want the one that is less threatening, lah. Right? So the one that looks like I can talk to it and reason my way out of this encounter. You know, because, it's comforting to Jonathan.
Because when the entity is humanized, and my brain can humanize the entity, I have more empathy for that than a creature. Like, take for example, the Syed Wilson's episode 3, for example. All the weird kind of hantu, the hair, cannot.
Way beyond.
You know, maybe they are the future, the future aliens, the future mankind coming here to give me, you know, the 4D number for next week. I'm freaking out first, right? So, for me, seeing a more form up entity is my preference. Sonia, what about you?
Yes, definitely something that I can relate to. Something less threatening. That way, fear factor goes down, right? Mm. Something that is bloody, gory. Those things are meant to frighten you anyway. So if something's if an entity is going to appear as a very gentlemanly, old, bearded, very grandfatherly looking, not scary at all, you know, then approachable.
So that is all three of us personally would choose that, right? If it's if it's my hotel room and I'm in it alone, yes, that's what I would choose. But the SC side of my brain, right? In the same way that if I said, "Hey, let's go watch a horror movie," you would not say, "Sure, Ghost Whisperer is a great horror film."
I tell you,
you would not. You would not. You would go, Sadako, please. Thai horror, please. Korean horror, please. Because we want to believe and we want to be scared. Come on.
I tell you, the Malays in our community will say that you and Sonia will be screwed. You know why? Because they believe in jinns. Mm-hmm. And jinns will take on the form of something that they can win away your trust.
That's okay. As long as halfway, something horrible happens. Okay, you burst into flames like the kitten. You can be a cat all you like, as long as you burst into flames, that's good also. Pass. Right? Pass. Something all right.
Unholy.
Yes, shock me. Shock me. All right. Shock me. All right. But if that is all that you are, then
Okay, question for Sonia. Sonia, I think this is a question for you. Like, and also, next I'm gonna pass you the proverbial mic as well to for your take on this this confession, right? And John, I want your answer for this as well. Feel free to chime in later. When he got into the cab and he waved, what he thought he saw that? Sonia first, right? Do you think that was the spirit of the man that he saw? Or was that a romantic notion that he wants to see something? Because he looked up, which means there's already an intention to see something.
Yeah.
And then he saw it because he... What's your take? Really, Hantu, or in his mind?
Figment of his imagination. He has this very romantic notion. He's come again, like I said, he's already primed for it. He loves heritage hotels. He is already looking for, you know, the history. You go to places like that because you love the historical aspect and the vibe of it. He is ready and already conditioned for this kind of story to happen. So all you have to do is plant a tiny little seed in there, something he could have read or seen while he was researching for the hotels to go to. Because you don't just find boutique hotels like that. You have to do research because you are very particular, right? You want historical, heritage. You have to do some checking. He could have come across a keyword, a little bit of history about it. Stay in a hotel where barons once lived. Then the word baron is already in his head. So the fact that he looked up, he's looking for a conclusion to this romantic lingering story he already built in his head. And I feel it's a very poignant, tragic love story, very fitting of the kind of place that he was in. And he's a loner, so he's going to be a little bit more romantic already. He's had a couple of, you know, drinks and whatnot. And guess what? It's a beautiful story to retell to people like you.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he actually says, "I thought I saw a man in the window," right? So he himself
wants to keep
that option open because he knows he knows it's not a full on, oh, you know, because his reaction to it was, you know, it was a perfect cap to a little adventure, right? And I think you know, being
even
a writer,
if he didn't see it, right?
Even being a writer, I would want to complete the experience, right? It is rounding up the experience. So you would like Sonia said, right? You would want to look up because you feel you must play your part, right? The last scene must be me looking back at the house that I have escaped from, and the reciprocation, right? You know, the confirmation that I have received your message and you have received my message because you left him a letter and a glass of whiskey. So you expect a thank you, a goodbye wave, something. Right? Yeah, it's the reason we look back, you know, at the airport or at the train station, right? We are expecting the person who saw us off to finish it off with a wave, and then we get really frustrated when they're already leaving. Already gone. And we're like, you spoil my lovely story.
Okay. So right.
The conclusion. Every story must have a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Okay, so conclusion for this confession. Hantu, not Hantu.
Psychic experience because he was in a very suggestible place.
Okay, psychic experience.
And whether he's normally psychic or not, he certainly was primed for it. Right?
Okay.
And what was sending the message? That's where the mystery is, right? So, you know, who is sending the message? Okay. Right? And yeah, so must be
I want a sequel.
Yeah,
please.
Correct.
Okay, so I'll give you the address. You go and stay there, lah. Sonia.
We go and hack that wall. Okay, we gotta knock that wall down and find the diary. The diary still remains to be found. He didn't even say what he saw. he read it, the diary, and then he kept it a secret. I want to know what's in the diary. Next season on The Hidden Room.
Yes.
Okay. Okay,
so many screenplays ready to go.
I want to know. I want to
okay,
know.
So we got Psychic from John. Sonia, what about you?
I think I think it's all playing out in his head. Power of suggestion already there. He's in the correct place with the correct vibes for him to play that story out in his head. He said he dreamt it, right? He dreamt the Baron. So already taking place in his subconscious.
So are you saying that he actually knew some of this information, but maybe had subliminally absorbed
subliminal.
It, right? Yeah, and then it all clicked together for him. Yeah.
Yeah, he needed to have done some reading. What? You want to look for a heritage historical hotel, you are going to have to look for these places.
True, so, true. Entirely possible. Okay. Eugene, your verdict?
I'm going with... Okay, I believe in my heart that it's a psychic pickup. He picked it up. Psychic, because like this kind of memory is like in the wall. So he was a bit sensitive. Maybe he drank, the stars were aligned, whatever. He picked it up almost as a subconscious. And then the subconscious play and form and fill in the gaps for a message. Yeah. And it became a narrative. But the part of me wants to believe is that there is a soul stuck within this place that is trying to reach out for someone to solve its mystery for it. I like that from a narrative angle, but I'm leaning towards the psychic portion, as in it was just a dream one night, and he got the glimpse of it. He woke up crying, and there have been times where some of us were really dreaming and we feel it's so real. And well, I think Sonia was spot on about something. If you are staying in a boutique hotel, you are going to have to do research. Could he have, as he's reading all this, and the word Baron or something just came out, you know, and then it just clicks for him. And because you already want to believe, you start filling in the blanks and it becomes very real for you. And I had this conversation today with some friends over dinner, and two of them are doctors. One is a medical doctor, one is a doctor PhD. And the medical doctor was saying, on the atomic level, when you look at something, the thing appears, the atom appears, but it is non-existent prior to that. So, of course, like, when people meet me for dinner, first thing they talk is about all hantus and all. So, shout out to Ali or, you know, who's watching this. Yeah. So, Ali says that in quantum physics, atom appears only if you look at it. But you do, it's not, you know, it doesn't happen otherwise. And he believes, as a doctor, medical doctor, he believes in spirits as well. This brings me back to another topic that I did. It's a very famous experiment that I've done once before, where the collective belief of a place being haunted created the haunting. So when we go to a certain place and we want to believe in the romantic notion of that haunting, and when we have one dream, we could start filling in the blanks and creating the entire narrative in my head, but it's so real we believe in it, or B, because we believe in it, we manifested the entity. So either one, but either way, it is a hantu lah.
You know what this reminded me of as you're talking about it, right? It reminds me of Sadako, right? And what's in the video, right? You know, right? Remember the video, right? The cursed video in the ring, right? And if you go back to the original novel, right, by Shimizu, right, it's actually a science fiction novel. It actually isn't, it was made into a horror movie, but it's actually kind of science fiction-y horror, because it's about how a sort of vengeful spirit can code their hatred and their desire for vengeance into images, dreamlike images, and those become electromagnetically captured and then transferred. You know, so it is the para-hantu. Right, it's crossing from the supernatural into the scientific, right? And that's the basis of the ring, right? How can a ghost create a videotape? This is exactly how, right? You know, and I'm thinking of images like, you know, the old man pointing at the wall and the sadness and all that. It reminds me of the dream of Sadako's vision, because she too had her mother pointing, remember? In one of the images.
Yes,
in
yes, yes.
Yeah. So it's how scraps of information, scraps of remembered pain and emotion suddenly become a sort of art film in your head, right? And that's how you process it. And then if you think harder, you can unravel it into a mystery or a story or something, right? Or evidence, you know? So I'm very curious. I'm very curious to see, to talk to this person further, if there's a chance, to find out how the dream... He said the next scene, I'm in the next room. So I want to know about that transition, right? And what did the next room look like? You know, and what's in that diary? And perhaps, yeah, if it's possible, to investigate that. Because it would be amazing if he really saw the room that he could not possibly have seen before.
Stay tuned for Supernatural Confessions, Friday Night Live 2024, where we bring Dave D'Souza onto the show.
Where we,
oh,
we
the hidden room part two.
Follow-up confessions.
Yeah. Okay, level 52 now. We're going to have to quickly end this before 12. And I promise to give you guys some pantangs of hotel rooms.
Yes,
Arthur, hopefully you guys are... Arthur, you're listening. Arthur, are you there? Just give me a wave so that I know that you're protected tonight.
Yes.
Okay. John, Sonia, feel free to chime in as well. Sonia, super rational and all that. I know you go hotel room, sure got your rituals on. I don't mean facial and all. What do you do?
You would know.
Right, what do you do? Bantang. What do you do when you go to hotel rooms to protect yourself? First of all, number one, knock on the door before you enter. Right?
Because, I shall write down.
Write down. When you go to the hotel room, knock on the door before you enter. My grandmother say, so that you don't shock the spirit, and then they will hunt you at night. If you polite, you knock on the door and say, I'm coming in to stay two nights, three nights, please don't disturb me. The hantu will go, okay, polite boy, I won't disturb him.
Yes, I think knocking is minimum, but as much as possible, express your intention, right? Express how long?
But that one is not just pantang, you know, because sometimes they give out extra room key cards. You can never tell. There could be someone inside your room already. So in real life, it's a very good thing to do, because if somebody answers you from in there because they gave the room to somebody else already, I think that's an excellent one.
Yeah, very nice.
Just in case.
I'm going to give you the hantu version. Sonia's going to give you the rational version.
I'll give you the... Yes.
You get two for price
for
of
the
one.
Price of one.
Okay. Number two. Okay. When you are in your room and you're putting your shoes, do not put them like in normal fashion, like ready for you to walk. As stewardess tell you, you have to flip one upside down, one up the right way up. Because...
Or you can face different directions.
Yeah. Because for some reason, when the shoes are facing different direction, the ghost cannot wear your shoe and therefore cannot walk in your footsteps or cannot follow you back home. So you don't want the ghost to follow you back home, put the shoes separately.
Okay, I have a variation to this, okay? Counter theory from my grandmother, okay? So this is legit. You must do that everywhere. If your shoes are near your bed at all, right? So this doesn't just apply to your shoes, it's your bedroom slippers, because hotels, you always tend to wear the free slipper, right? Then you walk around. So the slippers are right next to your bed. Do not put them in the same direction, because if your soul separates from your body at any time during the night, it will not come back. Yeah, it's meant to confuse your own spirit from leaving.
Okay.
My spirit, I just have more than one pair of shoes out.
Also can. But then you could wear any of those shoes and go, because they're all your shoes. You see? It's the same reason why...
Oh, there he is.
Oh, I'm in the shadow. It's the same reason why my grandma used to say, you cannot put a mirror at the foot of your bed. Because when your soul goes traveling, it might choose the mirror to come back to. Rather than you. You know? So there were a lot of beliefs. But I think the shoe thing makes a lot of sense. In every way, except if there's a fire and you need to run away in the middle of the night, you will waste precious seconds trying to put on your shoes. So it's a risk you have to take, lah. Sonia, is there a
Is there a rational reason we should do this?
In the first place, I don't believe in wearing shoes into the hotel room for from a cleanliness standpoint, because you're bringing in dirt from outside in, and you know, you should always leave it further away from your bed anyway. So they are never near my bed in the first place.
Okay. Right?
And then this whole putting them one up and one down, or like in the opposite, in the opposite directions. I've honestly actually never heard of this before. It's the first time I'm hearing of this.
Mm, is it a Chinese thing only? For me, it was, because it came
I don't
from my grandma. Eugene?
Mine is from the SQ days.
I grew up in a...
Okay.
I never had my Chinese grandma or Chinese mom tell me anything like that. So I don't know.
Okay.
Number three. Right. Number three, yeah? And this is a very important one. Do not sleep in front of a mirror or sleep facing any mirror, because when you sleep facing mirror, your soul will get sucked into the mirror and then you will not wake up. And then whatever comes out of the mirror and takes over your body, you may not be the real you. It could be another soul inside your body. So do not sleep in front of a mirror.
So this is again my grandma, right? This is what she meant, right? Yeah, because apparently our wandering souls can be easily confused, you know, and can be frightened. So may go back to the wrong one, and then that will leave your body available for any wandering spirit to occupy.
Okay. So, anything rational for that?
I think that you shouldn't have a mirror anywhere near your bed, because some people, they need makeup, and when they wake up, their makeup is not on. It's too horrifying to look at.
So you must scare yourself.
Actually, that's a famous trope in many horror films, right? There's always one scare yourself with your reflection moment, right? Before the ghost appears. So yeah, don't scare. It's a strange room. You're not familiar with it. I think when you wake up in the middle of the night, yes, you will be surprised by someone who looks like you.
Okay. Well, I got a lot more, but because running out of time, the last one I will have to tell you this one. If you're living in staying in Indonesia hotel, never stay in the room if you look at the door frame with the one with three nails on top. In Indonesia, they have rituals where they put three nails at the top of the door frame where it traps the spirits inside, so their spirits cannot come out. So if you stay in a room like that, you are staying in with a room full of spirits. And last one also.
Like when they nail into the trees, just to trap.
On top of the door frame, three nails.
But this is outside the room.
Outside. Stick out. The nails will be sticking out.
Okay, sure.
And corner rooms are the worst.
Why?
Yeah, because corner rooms are usually the portal where the ghosts will come in and out from. So corner rooms are haunted, apparently.
Okay. Wow.
Corner rooms are usually the bigger ones also. You know, it's like some dead space at the end of the corridor type thing, and then they incorporate it into the room.
They're also
Quieter and the most amount of light. A lot of corner rooms have more windows around that corner.
Yeah, in my two favorite Bangkok hotels, I always insist on the corner room. So, oh no.
Yeah. Subconsciously, you can
debunk it already.
Yeah, I can debunk it already. Okay.
I mean, now, no time. It's 12 o'clock already, guys. Midnight already. People need to sleep already. I know John is trying to get his last bus. This week, we have Sonia, Super Rational Kurana. Thank you for making an appearance today. You still remember your parting speech, not your closing tagline?
I'm super rational.
Okay, John, you go first. I'm giving Sonia some time to think.
Today is very simple, right? It is the refrain that all SC members will now have. We want to believe.
We want to believe.
Yes.
Okay, Sonia.
I'm Sonia and I'm signing out. I usually have a super rational explanation for most things.
Nice.
Well, my name is Eugene Tay and I'm signing out with the greatest trick that the devil has ever pulled is convince you that he doesn't exist. Good night, everybody. And now we'll see you guys next week.
What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.